I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's either the Jets or Michigan football for me.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Michigan football would just be so amazing. I wouldn't even know what to do. And the Jets winning a Super Bowl, I can't even wrap my head around
that.
I can't.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, editorial director of No Laying Up, Kevin Van Valkenburg. Coming up, actor and comedian Lil Rel Howard. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed the first 2 hours of this program, you missed a great conversation with Tom Pelissero, my colleague from NFL Network, sitting shotgun in a car driven by fellow NFL Network information man Mike Garofalo on the way to visit fellow information man Ian Rappaport to play golf. And I got some information out of both gentlemen as they drove.
Oh, I thought you had information on the round right now.
No, I have no idea. You've got Pelissero's number just as much as I do.
I understand.
Feel free to update us on that. And then in hour number two, Kevin Van Valkenburg of No Laying Up gave us a whole soup to nuts description of what the document that we saw finally in print over the last 24 hours between the LIV Tour and PIF, the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, and the PGA Tour, what it actually says, what it actually means, what it actually spells out. If you missed that, we re-air right here on the Roku channel as soon as we're done on channel 210. There's also our podcast. Please, everyone, just go to wherever you get your podcasts and hit a subscription button for the Rich Eisen Show podcast. We would appreciate it. There's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's the collection page, Rich Eisen Show collection page, part of the Roku relationship between this show and Roku. It's a video on demand service. So joining us in about 20 minutes time, Lil Rel Howery will be here in studio. We'll have some laughs.
Nice.
Good times.
Let's do it.
So a few things that we haven't hit yet today here on this show. The Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs relationship. We've talked about it a lot. Any information individual, any NFL individual that's come on this program, RG3, Jeremy Fowler, Tom Pelissero, Albert Breer, Mike Florio, we've asked all of them what happened when Diggs left the facility during mandatory minicamp, and the head coach of the Bills, Sean McDermott, who has since signed a contract extension through 2027, said he was very concerned about the relationship between the team and him. And then Diggs came back, and Josh Allen and everybody says everything's fine. And what did happen? And RG3 said it was something personal between Allen and Diggs that had been left festering. That's my word, not his. Had been left alone, not discussed to, I guess, satisfaction, until the mini camp in June that had been lingering since the playoff loss against Cincinnati in the Western New York snow mid-January. So, and I have said, you know what? I'm not trying to stir anything up. I'm just talking about something that I think will roost potentially. Mm-hmm. Anything that happens in the non-playing season that can roost potentially during the playing season, affecting a win, affecting a loss, affecting a team, I'll talk about it. Certainly if it hasn't been answered to my satisfaction. Now, all that matters is that it's been answered to the Bills' satisfaction, to the coach's satisfaction, but most importantly, to Diggs' satisfaction and the quarterback's satisfaction. And I hope it has, because the reason why I'm bringing it up again now is that if it hasn't been handled to anyone's satisfaction, to put it to bed where it won't matter anymore, won't matter. Won't matter even if Diggs doesn't get the targets he maybe wants or gets the say that maybe he wants, or Allen doesn't get the peace and quiet that he thinks he should have. Again, I'm reading into the situation. I am putting words into people's mouths 100% right now. I'm just reading it from afar and saying how I've seen these things before in my now 20 seasons, 20 years at the NFL Network, celebrating this November, that doesn't get put to bed to satisfaction. It can crop up. And now is one of those times where it could crop up. Really? Why? This quote that was in an ESPN story, or I guess it's on a, you know how ESPN on their NFL page has a whole host of reports from all 32 teams, from all reporters involved with all 32 teams. The Buffalo Bills, one paragraph on this day, written by Elena Getzenberg, quotes Josh Allen talking about former Dolphins receiver Trent Sherfield being in camp and how he's kind of enjoying what he's seeing out of this guy. Sounds normal, right? Quarterback talking up his wide receiver.
Yeah, normal.
You tell me how, and this is the quote that is clanking around everywhere, because a lot of people do not believe that this has been put to bed. And if it hasn't, it may be an issue. You tell me. Maybe I'm off. Feel free to tell me I'm off. Okay? Quote from Josh Allen. I've loved what I've seen from Trent so far. The dude works extremely hard. He's one of the hardest working guys in the team. Doesn't complain about anything. He's rolling right now.
Yep.
Doesn't. A totally innocuous quote. It's innocuous. Just if this was said last year, would you have said anything? Right? If this is said about one quarterback, about a new receiver on any team, it's like, okay, it's June. We're talking to everyone. Everyone looks great now.
Right.
But.
No defense, no pads.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, there's one particular line in there that.
Doesn't complain about
stands
anything.
Stands out. Doesn't complain
about anything.
Yeah.
Which is, again, normally a very innocuous thing to say about any player on your team. If you're a quarterback, doesn't complain about anything. Which is what you want out of a teammate. But in this case, you're wondering, is he in fact being passive aggressive about anybody? And my two cents to Josh Allen would be, don't measure your words. You just be you. You just be you. Keep being you, because you have been insanely successful doing that. But understand, people like me and shows like this and media will parse these words. They will parse these words. So I don't want him sitting there thinking and hitching his giddy up. Should I never say don't complain about anything? Because he could have been saying about that and not even thinking about Stephon Diggs at all. Total benefit of
the
doubt.
Probably most
exactly
likely.
Exactly the case. But that's why I'm saying this better be put to bed. Because if it's not, if it hasn't been to the satisfaction, Stephon Diggs is getting this quote texted to him 1,000% today by somebody. That's why I'm saying I hope it got buttoned up in the manner in which they're saying it was. Because folks like us are talked about it today. Again, it's the Tuesday before July.
Yeah.
Right?
We're looking for something.
Honestly, like if this was said during, during May, during April, would it get picked up? Probably not. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. We've seen people, you know, on television talking about that awful called strike three that gave the Mariners the win over Washington last night. You know what I mean? Like, that's never getting talked about. Unless it's right now. So.
That's funny.
Gene in Florida, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Gene?
Gene.
Hey, Rich, I just wanted to give my opinion on what's going on with the PGA Live thing.
Sure.
I just really believe that there's no way they're ever going to get a deal done. But what the PIF has gotten out of this deal is PGA kind of threw all their players under the bus with this whole deal. So when Liv starts recruiting again, I think they're going to have a lot more players interested and have less hesitation about taking that money. And that's just my opinion.
That's an interesting point there, Gene, is that if this doesn't go through, then there'll be a lot of players that'll be like, sure, I'll take your money now.
Cantley, Shoffley, Rahm, they're all going to say, probably the only one left holding the bag that won't get invited is Rory. But
yeah, he's kind of put his cards on the table how he hates Liv. Thanks for the call, Gene. That's an interesting opinion right there. Hmm. But the Saudis got more than that. I mean, the Saudis got out of being deposed, A. B, they got a seat at the table. I'm still stunned. Like, that's fine. They got a seat at the table, and that's what they wanted. No deposition, seat at the table.
They were fine losing $2 billion on LIV. Didn't turn a profit. They were literally just writing checks.
But I think they can. They kind of have more where that came from.
But right, that's the point. They just wanted it. They were willing to spend whatever on LIV to get this merger done, to get a seat at the table. Because that's ultimately what they wanted in the first place. Which makes you wonder why they went through the whole charade of LIV in the first place.
Well, I think you heard Kevin Van Valkenburg say they went to the PGA Tour and said, hey, we want to, you know, drop 2B on you. And they were like, pound sand. There's a lot of sand where you live. You should pound it.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that. And Greg Norman was in their ear saying, let's do this.
Right.
There's a lot of axes grinding for a lot of people grinding them. And I guess Norman found a very willing partner at a very willing time to say, you want to get their attention? I know how to do it. And boy,
he'd been trying to do this for 30 years.
Do it. I know. Yeah. Right. Like, I've kind of had this idea for a world golf tour once upon a time. And they told me, forget it, and then did it. So that is probably why they said, okay, we've got a lot of money. Let's go get Phil. Let's go get Tiger. Let's go get Jack. Like, they went after the most hurtful people for the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Dustin. Koepka.
Yep. They just needed a couple to say yes to kind of legitimize.
And they got more than a couple. DeChambeau.
And then Cam Smith.
That's why, again, it's very difficult to wrap your arms around like that cutthroat. Why shouldn't? You know, that very hardball way of going about it makes you think, now they just pivot? Because there wasn't much pivot there.
No, they were.
But they pivoted.
Dug in. They expanded LIV this year. There were, you know, there was talk about putting together the 2024 schedule. Greg Norman having Zoom meetings with employees and kind of getting everything set.
And they had no idea that Jimmy Moore and Ed Herlihy, two people who are very
Jimmy Dunn.
Pardon me. Yeah. Jimmy Dunn and Ed Herlihy were working behind the scenes and said, "Hey, Jay, there's a lot of common ground that we have found here." How did that call go with Jay Monahan? Do you think? I'm sure he's probably like, okay, because we're bleeding money and our investors are, and our sponsors are basically saying, we're out. If you need more money from us, we're out. The math doesn't work for us. Man, oh man.
The math ain't mathing.
The math did not math for the PGA Tour.
So before Lil Rel Howery comes out, you said Windhorse was doing the pointing thing involving the Cleveland Cavaliers again?
Yeah, so Windhorse was on. This is from ESPN Cleveland.
Yes.
He had some quotes about the Cavs. I have some speculation. There's a couple of outlandish stuff that I'm not going to say right now because I'd get in trouble. I wish I could tell you more, but I know I shouldn't tease you. Windhorst on the Cavs and what moves they might make in free agency.
Well, what would that be?
Darius Garland getting traded, or
how about this one?
LeBron going back home?
No. What's the closest thing?
Kyrie going back home?
Bingo.
Whoa. It's a team with Donovan Mitchell? Or Donovan Mitchell's going somewhere? I don't know why they would break that up.
I don't know. It's while we're already.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is wildly speculating now.
Well, that's what we're doing.
That's what I mean.
What would be so earth-shattering like that? Involving the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You'd think they'd be in the acquisition business because they're a top, four or five team in the East.
Weren't they interested in Tobias Harris and the Sixers asked for literally everything, including the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Didn't I read that over the weekend?
Yeah.
They wanted Jared Allen and Garland, I think, and I think Craig Elo and maybe Brad Doherty.
I'm saying.
Craig Elo reference.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can't say.
Okay, Wendy can't say it because he doesn't want to tease us.
Well, you're teasing us, Wendy.
Well, he's doing that.
He's doing that.
One last thing. I looked it up. Do you know who the last person to wear number one for the San Antonio Spurs was? You won't know.
Is it Steve Kerr?
No. It's very recent.
Oh, okay.
And I'll give you a hint. Guy had a huge night in the playoffs, second round of the playoffs.
Recently?
Yes. Western Conference playoffs, second round, huge, huge night for his new team. Last player to wear number one before Victor Wembanyama, and one will assume, since he's already in the Hall of Fame, he will be the last person to wear number one before it's retired by Victor Wembanyama.
You're going to take him first overall. Oh, second overall in our league.
I'm not.
Second overall.
You're out of your mind.
You're not getting the first pick.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Lonnie Walker the fourth.
Oh, wow. Lonnie Walker IV. That is right. He did wear it once.
He wore number one for the Spurs, making it available for Victor Wembanyama to choose. Now that he's with the Lakers, Lonnie Walker IV, who had a night for the ages, right?
Yeah, he had a couple good games.
He helped. That was against the Warriors, was it not?
What are they going to do?
Wasn't it? He just took over the fourth quarter of a game. Remember that?
What are they going to do?
What, the Lakers?
Yeah. Ooh, Russell Westbrook likely to stay with the Clippers, TJ.
Oh, boy. What do you think of that one?
Well, yeah, let's do it.
That's per Howard Beck.
What do you think of that one?
Let's do it. I'm with it.
Now that Chris Paul's not coming.
He's not coming.
That's not a bad option. Option B.
Look, man.
Get a triple-double here and there.
You just got to stay healthy.
Maddening offensive set here and there.
Yeah. Also, according to Howard Beck, the Blazers briefly discuss a Scoot for Paul George swap.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
That would help Dame.
It would really help Dame. It wouldn't help us.
What if Scoot...
What if Scoot's going to be awesome?
Yeah, but Scoot...
How much have you got out of Paul George?
A lot.
Have you?
Well, I mean, you know.
How many playoff series?
Look, you're better with Paul George than you are without him. So, come on.
I don't know.
Wow.
Clippers, you're thinking.
The Knicks were talking about Paul George. You know, we're opening up a new building. We need to. I say we. I don't even know if I'm still hanging around.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Like I said, man, I'm still hurt.
Just go to Vic.
I mean,
he's number right
one.
There. He's asking
you. Yeah, man. He's going to upgrade Lonnie Walker the fourth's number one wearing. That's the whole point of this conversation.
Like I said, my godbrother played for the Spurs, you know.
It's already been added to you're officially a Spurs fan. Yeah, your banner's been added.
The banner's been added.
Oh, he did that. But that's an old one. That's old. Like a month old.
I know. I just like seeing
that.
It
was right after the lottery.
2 years ago, I jumped on the Crown Vic bandwagon, and I said that was my guy.
Okay.
So.
You're in. You're a Spurs fan.
Are you
now.
Gents ready for Lil Rel? How are you
going to do it, man?
Okay, here we go. Let's roll. When we come back, let's talk about The Outlaws on Netflix with one of the stars, Lil Rel Howery, in person. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we talked about The Outlaws with Adam Devine on Friday, and it's now time to do it again with Lil Rel Howery here in studio. Good to see you, sir.
What's going on?
Congrats on the movie, man.
Thanks, man.
Congrats.
Such a funny movie.
It is a funny movie. And Adam was here. It's funny. It's that. I mean, what a cast, too.
So yesterday we had our premiere last night. And
oh.
You know what's funny? It's hard not to, like, stare at peers. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of uncomfortable. Like, you want to speak to him? You're like, nah, I don't want to bother him. And, like, you look at all the pictures, he's just standing there randomly, like, looking cool.
And all he has to do is just stand randomly, and he is cool.
He just cool. I don't even remember when he left yesterday. We all were still partying. I think he just, like, cool people sneak out of parties.
He ghosted.
No, I see him eat a burger. Like, we both was eating the burgers, the little sliders at the same time.
Wait, Pierce Brosnan eats sliders?
Wow. Yes.
The hell? He looks like that? What are you writing down? Pierce Brosnan's slider for a fantasy team name?
Yeah, fantasy name.
I don't even know what the avatar for that would be. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
James Bond.
I've got Lil Rel Howery here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Ellen Barkin, Pierce Brosnan, Nina Dobrev, Adam Devine, and you, Lil Rel. How late did the night go?
It was late. We had fun. It was like a lot of the premieres just started back again. This is my first premiere for one of my own projects in a long time. So with Adam and Nina, all of us are friends. So, you know, it was shot o'clock last night.
Okay. So are you playing hurt today? Are you playing a little hurt today?
You know what's funny? Like when, you know, we've been on strike, so I really ain't been doing anything. So
yeah, right.
I'm chiller. I think whatever happened last night, I woke up on time. Got the kids up, got the boys dressed.
Fantastic.
And we're here.
And you were here, which I'm thrilled. By the way, I'm absolutely thrilled to have you back here on the show. So you are from Chicago.
All day, yeah.
Okay. And so you are Bulls.
Cubs, Bears. Yep.
Cubs, Bears. What do you think of Justin Fields being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Lil Howery?
I was dreaming the day we draft or have an athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I've been looking for, like, we've had defenses for years, right?
Cutler wasn't as athletic enough for you?
No. Justin Fields is one of my favorite players right now. And so
I don't blame you.
I like what we've done in the offseason, so I'm excited about this season.
Okay, yeah. I think Justin Fields is the man to the point where, you know, we were talking the other day of whether Atlanta is going to rue the day that they didn't draft him 2 years ago.
100%. But who cares?
Well, I'm just bringing that up just to say how much we appreciate Justin Fields and bring that up too, because they could have drafted, you know, like Bryce Young and traded him. That was part of conversation for a hot minute back in January.
I was actually like, that day was a part of some type of NFL draft thing. So I'm like with like Deion Sanders and I forgot who was all on this little weird Zoom thing we was on, and I yelled when we drafted Justin. I was so happy.
I think that was 2 years ago. I don't know if I was on that yet.
Hey, were you hosting that?
That was the pandemic year. I think Justin Fields was drafted the year after, and they did that Zoom one more time, and you were on that with Prime.
Yep.
Have you met Prime? You ever met Deion?
Not in person, but I want to meet him. Like, we've like messaged each other because he's like a big fan of comedy.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I think I'm gonna take a trip to Colorado.
Yep.
And just do all the cool stuff, everybody. Because I keep seeing people doing all these cool stuff.
Right.
But I ain't never been really invited, so I want to go.
Well, Deion's one of the funniest people I've ever met, by the way. Like, if he ever wanted to do comedy, he could do it.
And he should do a one-man show, actually.
He's doing it just as the coach of Colorado Buffalo football right now, it seems like. You know?
But like, no, for real, though. Like, if he got a theater, sat there, and just told those stories. Because one of the 30 for 30s he did kind of felt like a one-man show.
Right.
When he was, nobody else was interviewed.
Correct.
It was just him talking about playing both of those games the same day.
Right. Where he's told so many stories that are laugh out loud funny, but just him also being himself. I've got Lil Rel Howery here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then you also forget that he was an outstanding baseball player too in his time. Where years ago we were in Green Bay and we were waiting for our flight to go after Thursday night, and we were, I guess I'll tell this tale out of school. We were so early on the NFL Network, didn't know we shouldn't have done this, but we were at a blackjack table waiting to get to our flight because there's, you know, a casino in Green Bay. And we were sitting there playing blackjack, and I was at the end of the table in the third base position, and he was so happy with my play, he nicknamed me Terry Pendleton because that was his favorite third baseman of all time. And I honestly, it took me like 2 minutes to figure out, why is he calling me Terry Pendleton? And then he proceeded to tell me, you know, third base, outstanding position.
That's so right. But this is so funny, right? Because Prime, I feel like, has two different lives. He's the dad Prime now.
Yes.
But then he was like Jerry Curl.
Yeah.
15 Mr. T chains on.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Hosting SNL.
Never wore a shirt.
Yeah.
Always. He was like the first jacket no shirt guy consistently. You know what I mean? Like, for yeah. real. Like, he really was. Like, he was the first one to do that. Like, Bo right. Jackson wasn't even doing that.
Right.
Deion Sanders was the first no jacket, Jerry Curl yeah. consistency
yeah.
of that. Yeah. No matter what the weather was. Yeah. What city he was in, he would not wear a shirt. He'd have a fur coat on with no shirt on.
I know.
In Green Bay.
In December.
Well, he would never consider that football weather either. He's from Florida. He always says that football weather is 75, 80 degrees. He and Michael Irvin are lockstep on that. Like, football weather is not 20
football
degrees.
Football weather is winter weather.
Now, that's a Chicago Bear fan talking right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because but it's like, why would you want to be hotter with all that equipment on?
Interesting choice. Absolutely. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Like, only time it's cool is when they wear crop tops at practice. Like, yeah. Not in the game.
Did you ever go to Soldier Field as a kid? Did you ever do that?
I didn't get to Soldier Field until I became an adult.
Okay.
Which is like, I guess it's a lot of the stuff now, because I'm literally reliving everything again.
I bet.
You know what I mean? And like I was telling you earlier, I threw out the first pitch last weekend at the Cubs game. Like, that was the first time I ever put my foot on Wrigley Field. So me and my brother was there, like, touching the grass.
Oh,
we looked like little...
So
kids.
Who was your Cub growing up? Who was the guy that
Andre Dawson. Oh, there's no question. I have a signed Andre Dawson jersey in my house. It's my favorite thing. My manager bought me one of those things for my birthday a couple years ago, but huge Andre Dawson
fan. I loved him too. He was so great. He was
powerful.
So great.
And he wasn't a big guy, but just had power. He was a power hitter.
Yeah, he was out there in the outfield, Ryan Sandberg in the infield. And
that's one of my favorite Cubs teams is that team. It was Rick Sutcliffe was pitching.
Yep.
You had Mark Grace came along at some point. You had Sean Dunston.
Yeah, Dunston at short.
God, such a great day.
Yeah, and Andre Dawson. How was your first pitch?
Oh, it was great.
Come on now.
I play baseball, so.
Okay.
It was weird because I brought a glove. Nobody usually brings a glove to a first pitch. But I didn't realize people didn't do that.
So you brought a glove?
Yes.
To throw out a first pitch?
Yes.
Okay. What, you think you're getting the ball back from the catcher?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you got to lead with your glove
it
hand.
It was crazy because I was like doing all my ball. Because people were like, were you practicing? I'm like, no. I love baseball.
Yeah.
I'm going to come to Wrigley Field and throw the first pitch, and I don't bring a glove. Yeah. Come on.
I got it. But you threw a strike?
I threw a strike.
Okay, because you've seen some of these first pitches lately.
It's terrible. I'm really good at it. They're going to bring me back.
Okay. Very good.
They'll never show the good pitches, which is weird.
Yeah, isn't that right? They're the only ones that get bounced. Oh, there you are. Oh, you weren't on the top of the mound, though.
Okay, here we go. This is the truth.
Okay.
I thought the lady told me I couldn't stand up there. She was.
I think she was giving me an option,
but I thought she told me I couldn't go up there, so I didn't do it.
Okay,
100%. But look at that.
That's a nice form. That is a nice form.
First of all, I threw heat because the mascot called. You heard it. Bottom of the mound. You know what I mean?
And how was the take me out to the ball game? Because you got to. So you could go faster than the actual organ. The organ plays real slow. You got to be careful about that.
No, it was perfect. It was weird because it was trying to give me all this guidance. I'm like, do you understand? I've been singing this since I was 6 years old. So yes, let's go. And so I tried to do it in a Harry Carey voice, but it came off like DMX. It didn't make any sense. And so like.
How does that sound?
Like, take me. It sounded like I'm drunk. It sounded like I was doing the Simpsons version of it. And I was at Moe's hanging out.
But sounded drunk is the Harry Carey way of doing it.
I killed it. I gave him a let me hear you. Oh, one. I did all that. It was crazy. Everybody thought it was dope.
I met Harry Carey once at 11 in the morning because they had. I was a student reporter for Northwestern. And I believe Tom Treblehorn was just about to be announced as the new Cubs manager in 1994. I think that's who it was.
Wow.
And it was a press conference at 11 in the morning at Wrigley Field. I got there at 10 a.m. to be early because, you know, I was a student. And who was already sitting there at the bar with a Bloody Mary but Harry Carey?
Oh, that's a great story.
And this is way before, you know, phones or whatever. I would have taken a picture just to see him. I don't think it was a Virgin Mary at all.
Which picture would you took? Like the one, like the stalking picture where you don't ask to take a picture with somebody? Like where you just like, all right.
Well, at the time, I would have taken the stalking picture.
You know what? You know what's crazy? Because we think about cell phones, but could you imagine somebody with a full blown camera?
Just walking around.
Just walking around. Just like, hey, man, what you doing? I'm taking a look. You know, it's so funny because now you can sneakily do it. People can do that to you, but it's very interesting. Like a full-blown.
Yes, the full-blown camera. It would be really odd, too, if you use the full-blown camera as a selfie, too.
Like, turn around, like this. It's so funny. Like, Wrigleyville is so off the chain. That was my first time, too. Actually, I stayed, like, across the street from Wrigley Field this time.
In one of the apartments that is across the street from Wrigley
Field? I did not stay in an apartment, no. It's a hotel they built.
I didn't know they have a hotel there across from Wrigley Field.
No, man.
I'm not suggesting you're crashing on someone's couch, Lorel. Yeah, like I know that you're a big time. I understand that. But I just didn't know there was an... I didn't know
studio
there was
an, Airbnb chilling across the street. No, I was at the hotel.
Okay.
And yes. I hung out. Yes. Like, it is... Every single day,
yes.
There's a game. It's like a big... It looks like Mardi Gras.
Yes.
It was so, I had so much fun at Wrigleyville. Like, I was like, yo, I didn't know. And it's so weird. I lived on the west side of Chicago, but I never experienced that.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. I had so much fun.
It is great there. Lil Ro Howery here on The Rich Eisen Show, Friday, July 7th, streaming on Netflix, The Outlaws, which is available right here on Roku, because Netflix is right here. How did you get involved in Get Out? How did that come about for your career, Lil Ro?
I mean, it's pretty simple. I auditioned.
Okay.
No, but for real, I did. Like, Jordan Peele told me about it at a party first. And I remember kind of like being like, you did what? You wrote a horror film? Okay, sir. Because, you know, you just know for comedy. It's like,
yeah,
I hear you. But the way he started describing it, I'm like, oh, you really into horror? Okay.
Yes.
And then by the time the script came to me and I went to read for it, when I was reading it, it just felt like it was me. Like, it literally sounded like how I talk, my cadences and everything. And I was like, if I don't book this, I'm a terrible actor because this sounds like me.
And so did he tell you this is the role that I think you should play when he told you about the movie?
By the time the movie came out is when I saw him do an interview, and he said when he was writing it, he had me in mind. And that's why it sounded like me. I was like, no, I'm not crazy.
Right.
This sound like me. If I don't book this, I'm a terrible actor.
Right.
I can't even book me.
Right.
But yeah, it was. It ended up being one of the greatest. It's such a great story. Like, just to see what everybody has done since Get Out, like all of us.
Yes.
It kind of just implemented all of us in Hollywood. Like, it made me, like, basically like a movie star is what that. And he told me that, actually. He called me while he was editing the movie, and he told me to get ready. He said, just know what your price is. Get your money, because you're about to be working.
That's like, what Jordan Peele told you.
Yep.
And I don't blame you for saying, wait a minute, because, you know, Key and Peele was one of the funniest shows on television.
But if you rewatch it, it's so many dark sketches. Like, it's a sketch they do where it's like a workout. Like, the guy's working out, and there's like a guy with this sign, like, your family just got murdered, but they still got to keep working out. It's so dark.
Oh, like, yeah, there's definitely some subversive humor on that show, no question about it.
I was like, okay, Jordan Peele, I see you.
But Get Out is way out there. And when you read the script, did you read it like from start to finish? Or
I read it from start to finish.
And were you like, okay, wow, that's...
I thought two things. Either we was going to be kicked out of Hollywood, right? Because I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You can't kill all these white people when we drive off. Like, that's going to end it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So it was like, we'll see if people like this movie or not. But when the trailer came out and we went to do reshoots, I remember all of us sitting in at a bar, and we saw all these millions of hits for all the trailers that was like on YouTube. And we like, yo, is this about to be a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So like, even the moment, the premiere, I'll never forget, it's one of my favorite moments is when I showed up at the premiere, no press was really talking to me. You know, they had to interview me because okay, you're in a movie, nice. And all right. When we walked out the theater, it was me, my manager, my date at the time, and my publicist. And I was like, yo, that was crazy, right? Like, talking to them. And you know how, like, they have, like, usually, like, the cast at the bottom and, like, the people they invited? By the time they came down there, everybody literally bum rushed me. And I was like, what the hell is happening, right? And the security had to walk me to my car. And I remember all of us getting to the car. I'm like, yo, this is different. Is my life about to change a little bit?
Jordan was right.
He was
right.
He's so, and I mean, I went to see Nope. I love whatever Jordan does. Jordan pitched me a TV show idea, which I feel bad. Like, at the time, I did my show. And so I turned down the show he pitched me. But it was such a great idea. Sometimes I want to call him like, hey, man, you want to?
Yeah, let's revisit. What is it?
I'm sorry I picked the other show, but.
Do you want to say what it is?
Like, no, I can't. It's his idea. It's a great show idea, though.
Okay. So why don't you revisit when all this craziness on with strikes gets over with?
I think so. It was him and J.J. Abrams approaching me about something. Ooh. I know, man. I get it. At the time, I was like, I want my own show and with my friends, and that's why I did it. Like, and that was fun.
It's like, you know, LeBron is inviting you to play pickup, you know. And
I got my own game.
It's like, nah, I'm going to go play with Conan O'Brien and Pete Davidson. I'm not playing with LeBron and D-Wade.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a great story, man. And that you know, that movie still, you know, obviously will forever stand the test of time.
It is... You know, I look at like, and so I do a lot of reflecting because this year is it's going to be such a fun year. Like Outlaws is the first thing coming out, but yep. I got a movie coming out every month until the year is over with.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that means you'll show up every month here?
If you want me to, I'll come and promote every last
Let's
one.
Let's do it. I'm happy to do that.
Deal.
It's go keep Vacation Friends too.
Okay.
In August is going to be, it's so much funnier.
Okay.
It's called Honeymoon Friends. It's nothing like I love a good sequel. Like, I was scared to do a sequel, but I'm like, oh, this is a perfect sequel. So it's a great sequel.
Very good.
Same cast?
Same cast. We added Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi?
Yeah. And he's so funny.
You got a good Steve Buscemi story for me?
You know what's funny? I don't even know if I have a good story. I just know we all became friends, and that was enough for me. We shot most of the stuff in this resort, so in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
So, like, after, like, that's the best way to shoot. Like, you say cut, and like, no, I'm going to just sit here. Like, I stayed on the beach after. I've never done it before after working. No, I'm going to just sit here. I'm going to take a nap. See you tomorrow. Watching the crew put stuff up. I'm just sitting on the beach chilling.
That's what you do in Hawaii.
Vacation Perfect. Friends 2, Paw Patrol 2. I'm in that.
Oh, okay.
Very nice. Fun.
All right. How old are your kids?
Oh, I'm old now. 14, 13, and 6.
Okay. So they've aged out of Paw Patrol.
No, they're going. I'm in it. They're going to have to watch. Okay. I don't care if they're 32. Like, you're going to see Paw Patrol 2. A movie funny. Called The Meal
okay.
that I'm excited about. It's a sci-fi thriller, 97% just me
okay.
in the movie. I'm so proud of it. I just saw another cut of it yesterday. I'm producing it and also starring in
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
And it's going to be on Hulu also, where Vacation Friends 2 is. But okay. I'm proud of this. Like, this is... I'm not saying I should win awards, but if I was to win awards, it better be for The Meal.
Okay.
And then I play Santa Claus for Dashing Through the Snow, which comes out, Christmas time.
Christmas. Okay. Yeah. So here's what we got. You can come on and promote, which one's in August?
We got Honeymoon Friends 2, which is August 25th, so I'll come back.
You come back, that's when we'll talk about the Cubs making a playoff run and the Bears about to start the season.
And the Cubs is hot.
Yep.
The Cubs is hot. It's so weird, too. I'm like, who is on this team now? Like, I went to see the Dodgers, and I didn't know anybody. I'm in. I love a good rebuilding team that play hard.
You know David Ross, the manager, you know?
Yeah, he's cool.
Okay, very
good. Not a huge deal.
All right, so you got, and then you come back in October or November.
I'll come in back to maybe September for Paw Patrol, too.
Okay, that's when the Bears will be 4-0.
Yes. Okay. Ooh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back for our Halloween time for The Meal.
Cubs World Series.
Ooh, that'd make me so happy. And then I'll come back for Dashing Through the Snow.
All right.
Where I play full blown Santa
Claus.
You
talk about the Bulls starting 14-0.
You see how excited I was about everybody.
Even that, you're like, nah. You blink an eye with the Cubs winning the World Series and, the Bears starting 4-0, but the Bulls.
Baseball has been so much fun this year.
Okay.
The Cincinnati Reds look fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this kid, Ellie De La Cruz, play. That kid who just tripled for the cycle the other day, who runs like 10 seconds from home to third. He's unbelievable. That kid was unbelievable.
It's so interesting. I wonder, did like the new rules make baseball funner again? Because it's faster now.
No question. Lil Rel Howery, it's better. It's faster. That shift is the worst thing that ever was. Left-handed hitters lining out to right field, and it's caught by a third baseman. Like, what the hell are we doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I do love the new rules. I think it's great. And, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Man, it's so much faster. It was weird. Like, the game was like 2.5 hours. I'm like, that's it?
I know. Drive home safely. Drive home safely. The Outlaws, available for streaming on Netflix on Friday, July 7th. And again, Netflix is available right here on Roku, at LilRel4 on Twitter, at ComedianLilRel on Instagram. Thank you for the time, as always. Appreciate
always
it.
Always love hanging out here.
Right Anytime. Back at you. Yeah, right back at you. And so many projects coming up. I look forward to having you back here.
Coming back,
We
man.
Wrap up this show in a moment. Your phone calls and so much more.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I also love the story that you told, and if you wouldn't mind telling the audience here as well, at the Combine, when you would be pulled into rooms, and you didn't know which room you were being pulled into by which.
Yeah, I was, you know, it had come back in that day, everybody was reaching for it. Agents was in the hotel. Yeah. Everybody was everybody.
Now it's all scheduled.
It
now
was
you
scheduled,
know.
Structured. You can't be in a hotel. You can't be on the premises. Then it was everything. It was wild. So I'm backing away from crowds and people trying to grab me. And I backed into this room and the Giants was there. And it was the Giants room. And they had people sitting down taking these tests. What do they call these things?
Oh, yeah, like the psychology test, right?
I mean, the thing was that thick, man. And I sat down, and they gave me this thing. And what is this? They say, it's this test, and, you know, we need you to take it. I said, oh, what picker do you have? It's like the 10th. I said, oh, I'd be gone for then. So I got up and walked out. I'd be gone. I'd be way gone for then.
And then let's just get into it here. I mean, Belichick said he watched you run the 40 at the combine. And that you ran it and then ran into the tunnel. And is it true?
That's not true.
Okay. You did not run into a waiting car and being taken to the airport right then and there.
No, because I had more interviews and all of that. No. That story just grows and
grows. It does. It's like a fish story.
It is. That's not true. I did everything that I was asked to do. Now, I didn't lift. I ain't do none of that because Jerry Rice to this day hadn't laid across my arms and had me bench pressing. You know, I don't know where that comes from.
I love that you say that when you're watching the defensive backs put up the weight and reps of 225 and struggling to get the fifth one up.
When have you ever said, man, well, if that guy would have got one more rep, he'd have been there on that play. Never. Or the three cone drill. Like, no, this has nothing to do with nothing. So I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
Sending all my best to Deion Sanders as he recovers from surgery in the great state of Colorado. And I love that, man. Love you, Prime. Be well. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Funny chat with Lil Rel Howery right there. I hope he does come back.
I'm sure he will.
Well, I mean, we'll invite him.
I got a question for you.
Okay, TJ. I hope I have an answer.
Okay, TJ. So you were talking about, you know, the Harry Carey thing when you walked into the bar.
Yes.
And of course, it was pre-cell phone days. So it just kind of made me think for you guys, like, what is, like, the one photo op that you could have gotten but you didn't that you regret?
You mean other than him Gaga at the Super Bowl after going to the Super Bowl in Houston saying, I'm going to get one, having an opportunity, then saying 15 million reasons why not?
Yeah,
is that so, okay?
Something like that.
That is what you're referring to?
Yeah,
something
so,
like that?
I mean, I'm sure
so what are you saying? Like,
been in positions where it's like, man, I wish
I got another one.
I mean, I'm sure you have many regrets about not getting
James
photographs.
James Earl Jones at LAX.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Right next to me.
What do you
like
mean?
Sitting, talking to him. I was chatting with him, and I was like, I didn't even think about
when
it.
When was this?
It was probably when you'd still have like a regular flip phone.
Like a BlackBerry?
Or BlackBerry, yeah.
You know, I years ago, just to, once again, using a halftime musical act.
Thanks, Rich.
As a reference, in Indianapolis, I interviewed Madonna live on NFL Network.
Oh, so is this around 11, 12?
Yeah, it was 2011.
Okay.
Yep. The Giants.
I found better photos.
No, stop. So I'm interviewing Madonna. Mm-hmm. And live in Radio Row, could you imagine how many people were there? 5, 6, 7, 10 rows deep.
It was crazy.
They brought Madonna from the press conference live to the NFL Network set in Radio Row. And she was, I could tell, nervous because she's kind of like wondering, this is NFL Network, you know, like celebrities sometimes are afraid. I'm going to ask them, what about, you know, how's Ahmad Bradshaw's game going to affect the Super Bowl, Madonna?
So Madonna,
you know, but of course I'm not going to do that. But I was also a little bit, you know, nervous too.
It's Madonna.
It's Madonna, you know, I mean, my gosh. This is the person who in high, like the Rich Eisen from high school was now still bubbling deep inside me. Like, are you kidding me? This is Madonna I'm interviewing.
Oh, I get it.
So, but I wanted it documented in some way, shape or form. So I took out my BlackBerry and looked for anybody on the set who would be willing to take photographs of me interviewing Madonna live. Using my BlackBerry, which is the only thing I had at my disposal. Now, you, TJ, you don't know this story yet, right? This is the first time you're hearing this story.
No.
Brockman knows this story, and Mike Del Tufo definitely knows this story because the person I handed my BlackBerry to, who took the blurriest, worst pictures of all time, literally, it was as if it was taken by the Hubble telescope.
It's not even
of me and Madonna on the ground. It was Mike Del Tufo.
Really?
I handed Mike the BlackBerry. They were the worst photographs.
I have these photos somewhere.
Ever. Oh. They weren't zoomed in. They were like wide shotted. They were blurry.
Hold
like,
on.
What?
I have a better photo I just sent Hoskins that you didn't get, but I was taking two cameras. I was using the BlackBerry and a regular camera.
So there was a hidden camera, an unknown camera to reveal to me dozen years later.
No we'll see the picture. Hoss, I just sent it to Mike.
Are you really serious? No, this is not a photograph from like NFL Network official photographer who thankfully was also there on the scene to take these photographs. Amazing you bring this up. And it would lead to this.
Because I was just thinking, like, who would be mine? But this is
so you're saying you had a second camera?
Yes, I was taking two. That's
like a second spitter?
Yes, I'm going to show it to you right now.
This has been 12 years in the making. 12 football seasons in the making. I believe this was the 2012 calendar year where Madonna did halftime at Indianapolis between the Giants and the Patriots for a second time.
And I took another phenomenal picture of Madonna, too, that's going to come up. Watch Hoskins.
I mean, I don't know. Wow. They're turning. I can't.
Yes. There you go.
You didn't that take that photo.
That's the NFL Network's photo.
You did not take that photo,
that's my camera.
Mike.
I have a whole photo roll from that I took. I took like 12, 13 pictures. And I had other pictures. You got the BlackBerry. I was taking double duty with it.
I'm almost sure that's an NFL Network official photograph.
Okay, I'm going to send another picture.
That's a Getty image.
It's not that's a Getty image. That's my camera.
That's the Getty image. No, this is a Getty image.
No, that's my picture. On my life, that's my picture.
Excuse me.
Rich.
Mike Del Tufo, this is your picture. This is your picture.
Rich, that's my picture too.
I get it.
You want me to keep going? That's my picture. I have the whole roll.
But Mike.
This was my camera.
Mike, first of all, thanks for waiting 12 years to tell me.
That's my picture of Madonna.
Secondly, we have a relationship, the Rich Eisen Show, with Getty Images, which is why we have all of these phenomenal stuff.
Why would I hold Getty Images on my phone?
But I'm explaining to you, Hoskins also pulled a Getty image. That's the Getty image.
Yes, it was. That's a different camera.
Very
that's
good.
What I'm saying. This is
by
my
the
SR.
Way, this one is an outstanding photo. I like yours better. You know why, Mike? Because that one, it's just Madonna smiling. It could just be pleasant. This is me making her laugh.
That's true. See?
Okay, and I put Madonna at ease with my charm and also questioning skills. This was Formula E at work. A dozen years ago.
I see that.
I did take crappy photos with the BlackBerry, though.
Well, thank you, Mike. You were terrible.
They were
horrifying.
They were horrible.
I had never used the BlackBerry to take a picture because I was
so why didn't you send me these afterwards? Why don't you say, I've got my own camera. I'll do it for you. Instead of grabbing my BlackBerry and making me for a dozen years think I don't have a picture.
By the way, I put these in the phone at February 2012 in the Facebook. Madonna on set.
Beautiful.
Photos by Mike Del Tufo. February 2nd, 2012.
I believe you. Yeah. I totally believe you. May I have them now?
Yes, I will.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe it?
Years later.
I'm scrolling Getty, seeing if there's anything else from that.
That's all right. That's okay. Yeah. I've got one, and it's Mike's best photo of me having Madonna at ease, laughing. You know what I mean?
Years later,
that's
I come back to
wow,
the Gaga photo.
Strike a pose. There's nothing to it.
Unbelievable.
And then you'll find out 12 years later, the photos exist. Oh, my gosh.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.